Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and we are now at the point where we're going to examine the characteristics of the heretics. So let's read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the blackness has been reserved forever. Now, on the last broadcast, we begin to look at what Jude was telling us in these verses by examining the first of the five characteristics of the heretics. In verse 12, Jude tells us that the heretics would be like hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear. And last time I was showing you how that the early church held what was called love feasts to promote fellowship and harmony among those who love and serve Jesus Christ. We were looking at the divisions that exist that hinder this fellowship, and we saw that divisions and strife in the Church of Jesus over sinful things like race, culture, education, financial or social status are based upon pride or arrogance is expressly forbidden in Scripture. We also saw how God had to supernaturally deal with Peter's heart so that he would accept the Gentile, Cornelius, into the body of Christ, and how God opened the door for the gospel to be preached to every creature in every nation by the glorious words that he spoke to Peter in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 15, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Now, those who know their Bibles know that even though God showed this vision to Peter three times, and even though God spoke these soul-stirring words to Peter, and even though Peter personally saw how that the Gentiles could be saved as well as the Jews, Peter failed in carrying out this glorious revelation in the daily practice of his own life because he was never able to completely get over the division that existed within his own heart over the Gentiles and the Apostle Paul, and not Peter became the Apostle to the Gentiles. So we must be careful that we do not harbor the same divisions in our hearts that will divide believers along lines that should not be. Now, I would imagine that almost everyone that has heard what I just said would agree at least in principle with it. We must labor very diligently so that wrong and sinful divisions do not work in our hearts and divide the people of God. But in our modern age of ungodly tolerance, we will take the truth that we should not let ungodly division exist within the ranks of believers to a place where God never intended it to go. And we will think that God doesn't want anything to ever divide anyone. And that is simply not true. So while it is true that most all division among God's people is sinful, it is also true that some division is correct. While it is true that to be divided over things like race, culture, social or financial status, or division based upon education or gender or age is sinful and wrong, it is equally true that there are some very specific biblical reasons to divide one group of people from another group of people, even among believers. And in some cases, especially among believers, along with the sinful world. Now, that statement may come as a shock to some of you, but please allow me to explain myself. Let me repeat what I just said. I am saying that in general, it is wrong to be divided among ourselves over most issues like race, finances, and education. But I am also saying that it is wrong to not be divided over the issues that the Bible clearly teaches. So let's end the speculation and see what God said about this in His holy and inspired words. I want you to read about a time when God Himself divided His people from other people in Exodus 8:20-23. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourselves before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur.'" Now, because God had determined to judge Egypt and set his own people free, the Bible says here that God put a division between the people of God and the people of Egypt, and he separated them from one another. So God purposely divided between his people and the people of Egypt to show that God was with his people and was judging the other people. So we can see that in this case, where God was judging a nation, God himself divided between that sinful nation and his people so that he could preserve his chosen people. The entire history of the Jewish people in the Old Testament was one of division between them and the other people of the world. Over and over in the Old Testament, God tells the Jew to separate or to divide themselves from the lost and the unchosen world. That doesn't mean the Jew was better than the people of the world. No, in some cases, the people of the world were more honorable and more moral than the Jew. But it does mean that God had done something unique with the Jew that he had not done with any other group at that time, and that made their separation or their division necessary. The division between the Jew and the world was to show honor for what God had done to them and for them and in them and about them, and not bring glory to the Jew themselves. For example, when we use the word holy, we are using a word that denotes this division or this separation. You see, dear friends, the word holy does not mean sinless. No, holy means that the thing or object that is holy is different, or it is unique, or set aside, or called out, or separated, or divided from everything else and anything else. So God himself is holy. And the reason that God is holy is because nothing and no one is like God. He is different from everything else, and he is different from anyone else. God is set aside. He is unique. So there is a necessary division between God and his creation. And that is part of the reason that God is worthy or entitled to our worship. God Almighty is the creator of everything that is made, and that means by definition that God is not like anything else that he made. He is superior to and separated from, and he is above and more important than anything else that he made. So it is this holiness or this otherness that makes it proper and correct to worship God. For example, it is God's holiness that makes it a horrible sin to worship anything that was made, as though that thing was as holy as God. In the Bible, one of the greatest sins was for people to lower God in their minds to be on the same level as man. It was a terrible evil to bring God down to our level and to lower or remove the division or the separation or the distinction between God's holiness and man. Let's read Psalm 50:21 that says, "You thought that I was just like you." The Old Testament is filled with admonition to the Jew that they were not to look like the sinful world. They were not to talk like the sinful world. They were not to intermarry into the sinful world or to adopt the customs and practices of the sinful world. Of course, the greatest prohibition was they were not to worship the gods of the sinful world. And God's people today are called out and are to be separate and different and divided from the world in many, many areas of our lives. I want you to read what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write about this in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is what is called Christian separation. It's almost a forgotten thing. But check church history out, dear friends. Check this out for yourself. Christian separation was taught and preached in the Christian church for almost 2,000 years, until just recently. So, for example, it is wrong for a Christian to go into business partnership with a lost sinner. It is wrong for a Christian to marry or even date an unbeliever. It is wrong for a Christian to go to bars and nightclubs and to party with their sinful friends. It is wrong for a Christian to be dominated and influenced by the lost and sinful world and to develop a mindset based upon what the world teaches rather than what the Word of God teaches. We are called and chosen and set aside by virtue of being bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. And so we are people who have been called to holiness. The Apostle Peter said this about that in 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which you were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, once again, being holy does not mean that you're better than somebody else. It doesn't mean you are superior to anyone else. This is not a method for you to get self-righteous. Holiness, true, genuine, biblical holiness, will never make anybody prideful or arrogant or self-righteous. Please don't ever forget the fact that God didn't choose you because you were so great, Bubba. God chose you for no other reason than it was His good pleasure to do so. So never allow the fact that you are chosen by God to cause your head to swell. This whole thing about separation is not about you, beloved. It's about God. So we have a need to be constantly reminded that God could have just as easily raised up a rock to take our place. So don't ever think that because you were chosen that you possess some innate quality in and of yourself that God saw that made you attractive to Him. That's not the way this works. It was mercy and grace that chose you, not some good thing that you have done or some good thing that you possess. And as we are called by Scripture to be holy, we are also called to be gentle and to walk. And we are called to be kind, and we are commanded to be loving and forgiving and merciful and patient with all men, especially those who do not know Jesus Christ. And we are called to occupy in this present evil world. And so even though we are called to be holy, it is God's will for us to work and have a job. And it's okay to work around sinful people. And it's okay to have a sinful boss and to submit to that sinful boss. Nothing about biblical holiness would prevent that. It is okay to employ sinful people in your business. It is okay to have sinful friends and to speak to them and to spend time with them and to eat with them and to laugh with them to a point. Just don't sin with them. Biblical division or holiness does not preclude any of that. But we must get a handle on the delicate balance of being in the world and yet not being a part of the world. And we must all work very diligently to hammer out all of the details of this balance on our face in our prayer closet, because while we are commanded to live in this world, we are equally commanded to not be as the world. And this is why we all need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I'm going to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.